Building on the Solid Rock with Pastor Troy Neely of Calvary Chapel's Solid Rock.
Let every family find faith in the Father's love. This is where it begins. This is our cry, this is our song, Jesus the way. We find our life in Him.
Like the prodigal child who returned. I know I should just be a servant in my father's house, not even a relative, not even a son. And yet God celebrated him. The father celebrated him, his return. God wants to do that for each of us. So don't feel like you're behind the power curve or behind the eight ball. Stand. Don't let the enemy keep you down. And today is the day of salvation. Today is the day God can begin to use you. If He's used you in great ways in the past, it's not over. Today, stand up and follow the Lord.
God celebrates you. Today is the day of salvation. If you choose to follow Jesus, He will empower you. You think you're not worthy or unable or useless, He will prove you wrong and use you in mighty ways that you could never imagine. In today's message, Pastor Troy encourages you to stand up, stand firm, and follow the Lord. Don't let the enemy keep you down. Don't fall for his lies. Choose to believe that the Lord loves you and that you are his precious child. Be who he created you to be. Now, here's Pastor Troy in Hebrews chapter 11 with today's edition of Building on the Solid Rock.
Remember, Peter denied the Lord three times. God restored him and used him. You may be surprised at this, but God doesn't expect perfection in those who serve Him. He just wants you to learn to trust Him, to follow Him. You might be disappointed in yourself, but I have failed. You can't get over yourself. I have failed. I did the wrong thing. I didn't hear the Lord right. I. And you condemn yourself. Let me read you a scripture that will free you from that. 1 John 3:20. For if our heart condemns us, God is greater than our heart and knows all things. He knows if your heart really is repentant and you say, Lord, forgive me, please. I know I'm not usable. Like the prodigal child who returned. I know I should just be a servant in my father's house, not even a relative, not even a son. And yet God celebrated him. The father celebrated him. His return. God wants to do that for each of us. So don't feel like you're behind the power curve or behind the eight ball. Stand. Don't let the enemy keep you down. And today is the day of salvation. Today is the day God can begin to use you. If He's used you in great ways in the past, it's not over. Today, stand up and follow the Lord. Then there's Jephthah. Many hear his name and they think of rejection. His mother was a harlot, and he grew up in Israel, but his family despised him, and he was eventually kicked out because he was the son of a harlot. In fact, not only his family, the whole nation despised him. He had to leave the nation. Just get out. Who are you? You're an embarrassment to us. He was despised by the nation, but God raised him up so that at one point, when the nation was in total despair, they wondered, who can lead us? And they said, no one but Jephthah can lead us. And so they sought him and brought him back. And he became a leader in Israel. Maybe you've been rejected by men. Born with a disadvantage. Or you feel like you have so many disadvantages. And no one thinks that you can be used. No one will accept you. It doesn't matter what men accept or don't accept. What matters is what God wants to do. What is God saying? How does God feel about you? That's all that matters. Gladys Elwood was a missionary to China early to mid-1900s, and she was rejected. This little woman felt like she wanted to go to China and minister and just be a missionary. And she sat in her classes, went through everything, and they said, no, you're not smart enough, you're not big enough, you're not healthy enough, you're not everything. Everything disqualified her, and she was so frustrated. It's like, Lord, you said go be a missionary. Can it be this hard? Can't even get beyond the missionary board. So she said, I'm just going to go. She went. That was probably unwise, but she went, got on a train that led her in toward Russia. She's going all in the wrong directions and got stopped by Russian army. They kept speaking in Russian, get off, because there's danger up ahead. She didn't understand, so she stayed on until finally, get off. And she had to walk all the way back to a previous station and ended up getting on a boat. They took her to a boat, and she ended up in China. And she became the missionary that you've probably heard her story if you've watched the movie End of the Sixth Happiness. She changed a nation, really. This woman nobody would accept. She changed a nation during a time of war. They used to have foot binding. The women had their feet bound. And it was supposed to be beautiful. I think what it was is, I don't want my women running away, so let's bind their feet. Whatever the reason, it was damaging and destroying the women. And she saw this and began to fight against it, to stand against it. This was a stand against the men and the nation. She ministered to orphans and brought so many orphans in they could care less about the orphans. And because of the war, there were so many of them. She took them in and became a mother to so many. There's one scene, I know it's in the book, I don't know if it was in the movie, where she intervenes in a prison riot. And the guards and everything, there's a guy in there going crazy with like a machete, and he's whacked out, you know, and trying to kill people and just going crazy. And they're like, to this little woman, you know, these big guys, come here, you go in there. This guy's going crazy. And she didn't want to go in there. She's like, why are these big guys asking me to go in there? The reason they wanted her to go in there is because you say your God is so great, you go in there. And at that point, it wasn't about her fear anymore. It was about her God. And though she was afraid, she said, Lord, if I die, I die. But now your name's on the line. And she went in there and transformed the prison. Calmed the man down. It was like God intervened, helped them. What was causing the rioting was lack of food, lack of care, and almost created a program for, you know, them creating their own food by venting themselves through gardening and things like that. I mean, God just gave her wisdom, direction, power, but the missionary board rejected her. Not after that. Obviously, she's a hero now, but they would have never let her go. God doesn't see things the way that we do. And faith will enable you to trust God more than men, even if people don't believe in you. David's thrown in there too. Just another name to give you the idea of the quality of faith that is just kind of thrown into this Hall of Fame of faith. His faith began as a kid. He was a shepherd sitting under the stars, which may have contributed to some of his heart in the Psalms as he writes about the stars and the heavens and all of these things. He sat under them for so many years as a youth, watching the flocks. As a shepherd, part of his normal course of life was defending the sheep from bears, lions, and the like, big beasts. And he did so successfully. And you know, this was a kid who grew up seeking and trusting the Lord because of his job. Just because of his job. I just want to survive my job. And he knew the Lord, which is why it was so easy for him to come when everyone else in Israel was scared and to go, who is this uncircumcised Philistine? He's a giant. He's no lion. He's no bear. I mean, my goodness, he's not nimble. I mean, I took out bears and lions. In his heart, he'd done this before. This was no big deal for him. This wasn't arrogance. This was a kid who knew his God and trusted him. Amen. Because he'd experienced him before. This was not a big deal. All the battles the soldiers and his brothers had faced as the professionals had not prepared them for Goliath. But because of David's faithfulness to God in his normal day-to-day life, he was prepared. You see, it's those who spend time with the Lord that are more prepared for the battle than those who don't, despite their job, despite what they do, or their strength. It's those who spend time with the Lord. It's not about position, it's about proximity. How close are you to the Lord? An awareness of Him. And finally, Samuel. Samuel was not a warrior, he was a priest and a prophet. He didn't fight battles physically. His battle was, I think, one of the tougher battles. It was a battle against idolatry and immorality amongst his own people. Or let me put it this way, to show you why his battle was more difficult. He didn't fight against the enemies of Israel. He had to stand up against his peers. His peers. And you know how difficult that is. It's so difficult, we have something we call peer pressure because we cave into it so often. Especially youths who are not strong in the Lord. And if they don't get strong in the Lord as youths, they won't get strong in the Lord as adults. That's the hardest battle, I think, is to stand up among your peers and to speak and to say, this is wrong. This is not the truth. This is not right. This needs to change. That's very, very difficult to stand amongst those you're closest to and to stand in the truth. But faith enables us to trust God enough to even do that, though we might lose friends. Every new believer experiences this. I've come to the Lord, but my friends didn't, and I'd like to keep my friends, but it just seems there's a conflict now in the new me and the way God wants to lead and the old life and the old friends that don't want to go that way. And we have to make difficult choices. It's been said, you can't soar with the Lord when you continue to fly with the fallen. It just won't happen. And throughout our lives, we're continually growing and outgrowing people. We outgrow people, and we grow because those who don't want to continue to grow, we outgrow. I know in high school, I went back to a reunion, one of my reunions, and some of those that were like listed as some of the most, you know, accomplished the most, you go back, and though they were popular in high school, they were like, it's like they never grew up. Like they're hanging on to that. And they're saying the same phrases, doing the same things. And it's like a throwback. And you're like, really? Are you guys, we thought you guys would be leading and stuff. But there you are, still leading that same little circle. And if we were on all in high school, I guess you'd still be popular because those goofy things were popular then. But we've all moved on. There was a day when people looked up to them. And now they're like leaving them behind.
Stay tuned to hear more from today's teaching on building on the solid rock. Pastor Troy Neely has been sharing insights from God's Word with us. He'll have much more to share in the next part of this message. We are so glad you've tuned in today. We pray you've been encouraged and challenged by what you've heard. If you've been touched by this program, or if you have any questions about building on the solid rock, we'd love to hear from you. Send an email to info@buildingonthesolidrock.com. That's info@buildingonthesolidrock.com. You can also find out more about this program by visiting buildingonthesolidrock.com. Listen to previous teachings as well and even subscribe to our podcast. Now here's Pastor Troy with more of today's message. Building on the solid
rock. We've spent most of our time on trust, almost all of it, and the last two we'll touch on, but the idea of trust was the pillar for us today. Verse 33, this is kind of what they did, what happened as a result of their lives. Who through faith subdued kingdoms, worked righteousness, obtained promises, stopped the mouths of lions, we could talk about Daniel, quenched the violence of fire, we could talk about Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, escaped the edge of the sword, out of weakness were made strong, became valiant in battle, turned to fight, flight the armies of the aliens, or women received their dead raised to life again. They saw these amazing miracles. Others were tortured, not accepting deliverance, that they might obtain a better resurrection. Still others had trial of mockings and scourgings, yes, and of chains and imprisonment. They were stoned, they were sawn in two, were tempted, were slain with the sword. They wandered about in sheepskins and goatskins. They were placed in these to let the wild beasts attack them and eat them as if they were a wild beast, so they'd have the scent of a wild beast on them. They were stoned, sawn in two, tempted, were slain with sword. They wandered about in sheepskins, goatskins, being destitute, afflicted, tormented, of whom the world was not worthy. They wandered in deserts and mountains and dens and caves of the earth. The second thing, quickly, faith fortifies our resolve. We are resolved that even if death should come, I am going to trust the Lord. These individuals that we talked about, their faith cost them their positions, cost them their comforts, and even their lives. Now, what's sad for us is there are many in our culture today, Christians, who would say, I'm mature, who are not willing to downsize their house in any way or get rid of stuff. They lost everything, position, any comfort. And yet we have a difficult time just letting go of a few things. Oh, how different our faith is today than theirs was then. Here's an important truth that we need to understand. God doesn't promise to deliver you from every fire. He just promises to be there with you. Amen. We will go through some difficult times. You can't pray them all away or you won't grow up. You won't grow to trust Him more. They will come. And we're in a fallen world anyway. How are we going to have a heart for the lost and the broken if we're not broken ourselves? Daniel stood in the lion's den, but he wasn't destroyed. He came through it. The Lord's angel shut the mouth of the lions. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, they could have prayed themselves from the fire, but they were thrown into the fire, and God was there, and they were not harmed. They survived. And when we are going through a trial or a difficult time, guess what? We will survive. We are very resilient. Human beings are. God made us well. We can adapt to anything. Those who lose a limb, an arm, a leg, something, they adapt. We are able to keep going no matter what happens in our life. God just wants to remind us of that and that He'll be with us. Faith fortifies our resolve. And then verse 39. And all these, having obtained a good testimony through faith, did not receive the promises, God having provided something better for us, that they should not be made perfect apart from us. The last thing, faith fortifies our testimony. Our testimony is strengthened, built up because of faith. Just to say I have faith and stand up here and I have a position of honor to teach you, and oh, our pastor has faith. How do you know? Because he goes up there and he teaches the Bible. In a culture that's so anti-Christian. No, it's not. I'm free to do this. I'm not looking out there wondering if someone has a gun on me right now or if some group is going to come in and kill us. It's easy to do these kind of things right now. It's a lot of work. We're all going to invest in something. But when you do the difficult things, the things that cause sacrifice or lift others up above yourself, the world has no answer for that. To the untrained eye, these stories of these men and women, you'd think, I don't get it. What about their lives? I mean, I've read some of them, and I'm not so sure about some of them. But see, we don't see what God sees. We look at all the failures of people, don't we? We emphasize and highlight the failures. That person can't be used. Look at their life. It's a failure. Oh, God sees something different. Yes, but I see that they are going to respond, that we are going to get up and we're going to do something really great. Why does God make such a big deal about them? Because of the theme of this chapter, their faith. Their faith enabled them. Despite what happened in their lives, despite what happened around them, or even in their past, they clung to God and they offered their life for His purposes. God is good. When that happens, we end up with a testimony. A testimony that continues to speak long after we're gone. So God honors faith, even today in this century. God honors faith. In fact, 2 Chronicles 16 still holds true today. Let me read it. For the eyes of the Lord run to and fro throughout the whole earth to show Himself strong on behalf of those whose heart is loyal to Him. He will show Himself strong on behalf of those who will say, I submit myself to you. So, question as we close. Where are you, you modern-day Abrahams, Davids, Jephthahs, Gideons, Baraks? Where are you? The author said, oh, time would fail me. And the list is not exhaustive. It didn't include everyone. You know why? Because we're still living life today. And there are still those who can rise up and be faith giants. There's still time for your name to be one that could have been mentioned in the Hall of Fame of Faith. You may come like a Jephthah today. No one thinks much of you. In fact, they keep you at a distance. No way, you can't be used. But God has a plan. So you listen to him instead. Or Gideon, you're scared. I'm the weakest. I don't have the gift. I don't have the strength. And yet God's, hey, you mighty man or woman of valor. Me? Yes, you. He can use anyone. He's God. The question is this. Not what's your background, where you're from, what do you think about yourself. Here's the question. Do you trust God? Do you? That's the question I want you to consider. Will you exercise the kind of faith that fortifies your life, builds you up, changes everything about you? Because when you trust God, he will confirm things. He will do some great things. And he will build in you a testimony that will change those around you. He says there's something better for us. What is that? Christ came. Blood atonement has been paid. What's better for us? We have hindsight. This is good. It helps us. When we die, we don't go to a holding place, Abraham's bosom. We go directly to be with the Lord. That's good. We have a personal relationship with Jesus who's with us every day, every moment. They would often have to wait for the Lord at a key moment to come and intervene and speak into their life. We can seek him for comfort daily. And they are not made perfect, it says, apart from us. Why? Because Jesus is the hinge upon which all eternity hangs. Those in the Old Testament are saved the same way those in the New Testament are. The difference is they put their faith in God, trusting in him. They didn't know Jesus personally. They didn't know his name. They just put their faith in God. He had not come. When he came, God said to Abraham, it's credit to you for righteousness. Hasn't been paid yet. That payment's coming. But I'm crediting you now with righteousness because of your faith. And in the New Testament, the same thing is true. We put our faith in him, but now we put our faith directly in Christ. Through Christ we come because we know who he is. He's been identified. He's been raised. He paid the price for our sin. And so all of us get to heaven, Old and New Testament alike, because of Jesus and the price he paid. But all of us are saved the same way, by grace through faith. In the Old Testament, he didn't say, put faith in Jesus. He said, put faith in me. Trust me. Believe me. They were credited. With the faith, they would have believed in Jesus too, because whatever God said to do, they would have done. For us, he says it specifically, put faith in me, but it's in Jesus. If you're going to have faith in me, it can't be in the mountains or in other things or other leaders. It is through Christ alone. And so if we believe in him, we put our faith in him through Christ, and we're all saved the same way. The price for our sin has been paid. And so we don't have to look back any longer, but we must stand up and we must walk forward if we're going to have the kind of faith that will change our lives.
The book of Hebrews reminds us that only one person should hold the top spot in our lives, God. Our Creator has made all that we see and all that we are, and nothing we have done can change it. In Pastor Troy's verse-by-verse study through this New Testament book, we've learned how important it is to keep our focus solely on the Maker of heaven and earth. We're so glad you joined us today for another edition of Building on the Solid Rock. If you'd like to hear more teachings from this series in Hebrews, visit our website at buildingonthesolidrock.com. You can also subscribe to our podcast to have the latest messages from Pastor Troy as soon as they're available. You'll find a link on our website, or you can subscribe in iTunes. If you've been encouraged by today's message, we'd love to hear from you. Feel free to send an email to info@buildingonthesolidrock.com and be sure to let us know how we can be praying for you. Thanks for listening today to Building on the Solid Rock.
Let the light of Christ shine as we grow in Him. Come have your way in us. Come.